That's a tremendous hymn, and it's amazing if you take your time and read through that hymn. It is very, very challenging, and if we to live by that in the standard scheme, as we ask the Lord to search us, the church in Scotland, we'd be in a different place. We'd be in a completely different place if we to really listen to what we've just sang and to apply it into our lives. Thank you, Jim, for praying for us. And as Jim was saying, I really value your prayer for the Friday rally that's coming up. You'd really enjoy it. It'd be good to see you. I don't know if you go. I know there's quite a few in here go, but I don't know if you've maybe here and you've never been. It's worth coming along. Ian McLean's an excellent preacher, and people from the Stobarts are lovely singers, lovely people. It'd be great to see you, and there's a cup of tea after it. And then also as well, the prayer meeting up at Jim and Alison's, please come along, it's open to everybody. It's a great night of fellowship, and also there's a lovely cup of tea after it, and a good chat and a blether with everybody. So it'd be good to see if you come along, and God willing, next week, I really, really value your prayers for the mission, the gospel mission in Northern Ireland. If you want to know what to pray for, just pray that God would be exalted. That's all you need to pray for. Just, Lord, exalt your name as the gospel is preached, and great things hopefully will happen if the Lord is exalted. Let's just turn to Lord in a word of prayer before we turn to the scriptures. It's so important that we come and still our hearts and ask the Lord to minister into our lives, because nobody can create an anxious thought in anybody's heart. It's only the Lord coming and speaking into our lives. So let's just come and be still and ask the Lord to minister into our hearts this morning. Father, we thank you for that hymn, Search Me, O God. And Father, as we have been singing it, we pray, Heavenly Father, that through the Holy Spirit, that's what you do. You search our hearts. That, Father, you reveal any hindrance or any blockage or anything that's stopping revival in our hearts, revival in our lives. So, Lord, we come before you and we ask through the power of the Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. We know that man cannot create an anxious thought. So, Lord, we're asking through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would minister into our lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you are looking a lot fresher after your hour's sleep. Did you enjoy your hour's sleep? Some of you are looking crabbit, but that's a normal. That's the way your face is normally, so no matter how much sleep you get, I'm not going to mention who you are. But it's good to get an hour's extra in the bed. It was absolutely lovely to wake up this morning realising everything is okay. But we're looking at Psalm 1 this morning. And as we look at Psalm 1, I want to tell you about somebody who stayed where I stayed in Muir House. I lived in a blocky flats. It was 8 in the ground floor, 8 in the first floor, 8 in the second floor. And there was a family who lived in that blocky flats. You've probably maybe heard me speak about them before. And their names are Thompson, the same as ourselves. But they Thompsons were different from our house. Our house was a broken disaster, a broken down family. But their family looked brilliant. There was just something nice about them. There was just something complete about them. And when you looked at them, even as a wee boy, I knew that family is different from everybody in our block. There's just something different about that family. And it was nice to see it. And you could see it even as a wee boy who knew nothing about the Bible, nothing about God. I knew they were different. They were different from everybody. And the difference was they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They went to a place called the Shields Road Brethren, and they were believers. Their trust was in Christ. And in their home, they glorified the Lord. And in their family, they glorified the Lord. And even as a wee boy who knew nothing about the Bible, I could look at them and say, that family is different from everybody in our block. And it was because of Jesus. And I believe if we're obedient to Psalm 1, what Psalm 1 is trying to get across to us, I think that our life, people will see we're different. Because if we are Christians and we say we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we're in the family of the Lord, people should see that we're different. There's a different lifestyle. There's different standards. There's different ways we behave. There's different attitude in the world. They should see that our life is completely different because we say we're in the family of God. And in verse 1 it says, "Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. And here it speaks very clearly about how we can experience God's blessing. They say in the original, it's happy, 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 happy. They talk about grammar and all that, but I don't even want to go down that road because I know we'll make a disaster of it. But it speaks about the grammar over its continual happiness. Something like that. Maybe Abby could help me with that. But it's continual happiness when you're obedient to the word of God. When you're obedient to what God has said in your life, and it says, blessed, happiness is found in the person who does not walk or stand or sit with the people who are anti and take them away from the things of God. Where in your life, you have to live a life where you want to be hungry and thirsty for the glory of God in your life. Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, I know when I became a believer, I'm sure you could say the same. I know my friends changed because there was places I didn't want to go anymore. There was things I didn't want to get up to anymore. So because of that, things changed in my life. And here it's saying there's blessing in not being involved in certain things. Blessed is a man that does not. When we become a Christian, there's things in our life that needs to change. Our attitude, our behaviour, our conduct. And here it is very clearly that it talks about walking and standing and sitting. And we have to be careful who we're walking with, standing with and sitting with. Because, you know, I've had many people tell me that in the workplace, they ended up, they were frightened and shy this year. They were Christians. And to stay in with the crowd, they spoke like the crowd. To stay in with the company, they spoke like the company. To stay in with their friends who were anti the things of God, they used to go to the places where you found many people who were anti the things of God. Now, if we know, and if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a lifestyle to be lived. And it's not saved and just do whatever you want. It's not converted and live whatever way you want. It's not saying, I'm a believer, and behave whatever way you want. If we say we're in the family of God, there's a lifestyle that we have to live. There's a behavior that needs to be applied to my life. And it's very clear in here that the word of God is saying there is blessing in that. Now, none of us are perfect. Not one of us in here are perfect. But if we know and we love the Lord Jesus Christ, it's wonderful to know that we've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That we have been redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We know that we're not saved because of good works or anything we do. We're not saying that, but what we're saying is, if I'm a child of God, if I'm a believer, if my trust is in Christ, my behavior should be changed. I should live for the glory of God. So in different circumstances in my life, then when something happens, I want to say, well, what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? How should I treat this situation? And it's to go back to the Bible for our behavior. We look at society today and it's wild what's happening in society today. It's crazy. The things that are getting so, it's acceptable now. And it's a load of nonsense. So as Christians, as believers, we need to make sure that our standards are taken from the Word of God. And as a child of God, it's so easy to get caught up with the ways of the world because of everything that's happening round about us. It's easy to accept things that's happening round about us because it's happening round about us. But we have to be biblical thinkers and behave in a biblical way, even when we know the standards of the world don't come from the Bible. And the values of the world don't come from the Word of God. So as a Christian, we go against the flow. We don't go with the flow. We go against the flow. We go God's way, not the world's way. We go the way that God wants us to live. Now, I believe that's where there's blessing. And that's where there's joy when we know that we're living for the glory of God and enjoying His company. Now, how can we do that? When we look round about us and we see the ungodliness of the world, when we see the behaviour of the world and the attitude of the world, how can we stand, take a stand and be strong in these ungodly days? In verse 2 it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The best way is God's way. And the psalmist says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." But his delight is in God's word. Now we've got from Genesis to Revelation, we've got the whole book. We've got the whole book. We know what happens at the end. We have nothing to panic. We know who's in charge. We know who's in control. We've got the whole book. And if we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ and given our life to Christ, we should want to delight in the scriptures. We should want to delight in the word of God. We should want to enjoy meditating in God's word. We should have a desire for the scriptures, for God's word, to enjoy sitting and enjoy delving in to the word of God. Because today, the world is screaming its message at us. The world is screaming the message of the world at us. And everywhere we look. And that's why it's important that we open up God's book. That's why it's important that we make sure we're reading, we're enjoying, we're delighting in the scriptures. If you ask someone, there's many people we've had to deal with who have wandered away from church, wandered away from the things of God. And I'll say, it's not when somebody stops coming to church, it's a problem. The problems already started a long time ago. And it's not when somebody wanders away from going to church. The problem usually starts when they stop reading the Word of God. See, when somebody stops reading the Scriptures, then further down the road, they find it easier not to go to church. They find it easy not to go to the prayer meeting. They find it easy not to be committed to the ways of God. And that's where the problem is. The problem is they're not studying the scriptures. Now, if we want to be strong and healthy in our God, we have to, as it says, "Search me, O God." I think it's important. I think there's blessing in asking God to search our heart, because our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And we need to ask the Lord to highlight anything in our life that's hindering His blessing upon us. And to do that, we need to open up the book. We need to open up the scriptures. We need to open up the Word of God. Just this week, I'll know what to tell you where I was or what I was doing. This week, I get the privilege of praying with a man who wanted to chat with us after a service. And the big question was, and the big problem was, and the situation was, that things weren't going right in his life. And he was very honest. And that was just this week. I know what happened. He stopped reading the scriptures. He was still attending church and other things, but he stopped reading the Word of God. And he stopped praying to the Lord. Everything just dried, as he says, just all dried up. And that's where the problem was. But he was still attending things. And praise God, he was totally honest, and he prayed and asked the Lord tearfully, a big bruiser, a guy, and tearfully He asked the Lord to refresh him and help him. Now, if we to do a survey in here, we could say, how do we break up our day? How much time do we spend time in things that is not going to count for eternity? How much time do we spend time in reading the scriptures? How much time do we spend time in praying and seeking God? Because it doesn't matter how young you are, and it doesn't matter how old you are, this is never going to change until we see him face to face. We need to be people who are students of the scripture, no matter what age we are. We need to study and enjoy the word of God. And sometimes people can get out of sync with enjoying the scriptures. We're taking time in the morning, we're taking time at night, just coming and enjoying the word of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 4 it says, I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I have rejoiced in your laws as in much as in riches. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. And then in verse 35, this is a wonderful verse. It says, make me walk along the path of your commands, for this is where my happiness is found. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for there is where happiness is found. And the psalmist is saying, make me walk along the path of your commands. Let me be obedient to your word. Let me walk in line with the scriptures, because that's where happiness is found. And isn't it true, if we be honest, we know when our heart is disjointed with God. We know when our life is disjointed with God. And it's so easy in the Christian life to get caught up in just living a stale Christianity. A stale Christianity. It's so easy to get caught up with a barren Christianity and pretending that everything is okay. But God is not looking for that. We need to be real. The busyness of life can sometimes cause a dryness in your soul. And I can say amen to that. The busyness of life can cause a dryness in your soul, even in good things. And that's why it's important as Christians, we have to make sure that in our life, we're search me, O God. Search me and know my heart within. Search me and see where there are blockages, where there's hindrance in my life. Because we want to be people that God can use and God can bless and God can fill and God can do something with us. And wouldn't it be tremendous if you're here today and you don't just come into church, get through the hour, go and get a wee cup of tea and a nice biscuit and then head home. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything. Would it be wonderful if today if God had to burden your heart afresh to read the word of God, to spend more time in the scriptures, to spend more time in prayer, to spend more time enjoying the word of God. I've got a couple of friends in my life, they're well over 90, and one of them is 90, just on 90. I don't know, because quite a few of you know him, so I'll not tell you who it is. And it's no Jim down here. That woke you up, Jim. He's 98, and he is crabbing. He's crabbing. And I go out my way to help him. And he's a pain in the neck sometimes. But I go out my way to help him. And I know he'll not hear this, but hopefully his relations won't. But we get a way to help him, and I can have a really busy day, and I'll get in the end of the night. He lives in Drumchapel, you know, and make him a wee cup of tea, and he can be. In fact, the way some of your faces are looking now, he's dead. A dead gurning, just there's a crabbit behaviour about him. And I thought, my, I'm here to try and bless him, encourage him, but he's just so negative, really negative. Yeah, I've got our friend in the 94, and the joy of the Lord just challenges my soul. just in touch with God, and really, really challenges me about preaching, about not getting caught up with the modern thinking, not getting caught up with modern preaching, just tickling people's ears. Yeah, tell them the truth. People need to hear the truth. Don't compromise with your preaching. Tell people the truth. I come out like that, buzzing. And I ask my wife, she'll tell you. I come home buzzing because she's just in touch with God. And you know what? She's housebound. She's housebound and she is in touch with God. And there's a difference. Now, I'm hoping in my older age, I know what road I want to go down. And what's the difference? Someone's in touch with God, another one's disjointed. And that's the bottom line. They're just disjointed with God. They've lost out in a lot of things. And could it be here? Could it be in here? That if I don't ask your testimony, that I maybe ask somebody that knows you, your testimony, what would they say? Can they see someone who's wanting to live a life that glorifies God? Can they see someone where they can see, even before you speak, you've got a desire to seek first the kingdom of God? And that can happen. Living in our life, we can stay at the shallow end if we want, but God is looking for people who's willing to get into the deep and trust and lean in Him. And you know what happens? In verse 3 it says, He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And here the scripture's telling us, the person who lives and aims to walk that way and live that way, they're like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields fruit, and their leaves don't even wither. There's a freshness about it. There's a spiritual success, for lack of a better word, about it. There's blessing about it. And why is that? To get to verse 3, you need to be obedient to verse 1 and verse 2. And verse 1 is having a desire to seek God first and make sure, even when we live in an ungodly world, but you're saying, for me to live as Christ, no matter what people are saying around about me, my goal is to live for the glory of God in my life. And in verse 2 is taking time to, in a busy life, to study the scriptures, to ponder the word of God, to enjoy the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what does it say? You'll be like a tree planted by the streams of water. Everything you'll need. What does a tree need? It needs water. They'll be well watered today. Very well watered. You need water. And when there's water, they're refreshed. When there's water, they grow. When there's water, the roots go down deeper. When there's water, there's fruit. Just, I hope Alison doesn't mind me saying this, just as we're coming in, saying hello to Alison and Lorraine. And Alison was saying she's watching a video, and it was a preacher saying about how we need to go back to prayer. This me just paraphrasing it. We've tried everything and nothing's happening. And isn't that true? Prayer is the work, and prayer is the answer. And sometimes we'll try everything. And it's great to do different things. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But we've got to back everything up with prayer. Coming and praying that God would come, that God would speak, that God would minister, that God would touch hearts, that God would save souls, that God would stir up the Christians to delight in Him. And wouldn't it be great if even in Allender you see the windows of heaven opening and God pouring out His blessing? And it doesn't matter what age you are. God wants to refresh your soul again. God wants to come and minister into your life. But sometimes people get comfortable. I've got a friend, and he's only 61. And for the last 10 years, he's been saying, I can't wait to retire. And one time we had it down to how many years it was, how many days it was, and how many hours it was. That's sad. I can't wait to retire. Especially when he's in the work of God. But it's sad to hear that. Because we never retire as a Christian. You can't retire in gossiping the gospel. You can't retire at that. That is our goal until we die and stand before God. And we want our life to be fruitful. We want what we're involved in to be fruitful. And for it to be fruitful, we need to be spiritually healthy. Healthy in the Lord. And as we come to a close, I'm sure in your heart, in my heart, that's what we want to experience. But we need to be honest. You need to be honest with yourself. If you're not honest with yourself, you'll not go anywhere. You need to be honest with yourself. How am I really doing before God? Not before man. How am I really doing before God? How is my life before God? Am I a person where God can bless me? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the person that does not. The work of God is damaged by gossip today. The work of God is damaged by backbiting today. The work of God is damaged by people behaving in a non-godly manner. And that's why it begins with you and it begins with me. And it's listening to what God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is saying. But before we finish, I'd like to send out a warning. It says in verse 5, "Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous." Verse 6 says, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." But the way of the wicked will perish. And that's a warning. And it's a warning to those who are not Christians. Now you may be here and saying, "I'm not the wicked." But if you're outside the family of God, that's what God classes you as. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either converted or you're condemned. And if you've never came to that place where you've realized that you're a sinner, the Word of God says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God. If we've not come to that place where we've realized we're a sinner and repented of our sins and put our faith and trust in Christ, you're the wicked in here. No matter how nice you think you are, no matter how pleasant you think you are, no matter how nice your life is, you're the wicked. And the Bible says, the Word of God says, you're just like the chaff. And the chaff was a rubbish. They threw the seeds up in the air as they threw it up, and the chaff was there as well. The wind would blow away the chaff, and just all the seeds would fall down to the ground. You don't want to be like that. And I'm saying to you today, you don't need to be that person. The Word of God says, if you come and you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall know forgiveness of sins and peace with God. You can know that you've repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're forgiven. Because you could come to this church until you're 100 and still not be a Christian. You could go and get involved in church things and still not be a Christian. It's coming and confessing your sin and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing that you've asked God to forgive you, you've asked God to change you, you've asked God to come into your life. That's what makes you a Christian. That's what makes you a child of God, when you come and repent and receive the free gift of God, which is eternal life. Now I send that out as a warning, and I send it out in love and compassion. It's a warning. Because if you're in here and you haven't given your life to Jesus, I'm saying please stop. Please stop and look at your life. Because there are one day and you're going to die and stand before God. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this a judgment. You're going to die and stand before God and give an account of your life. And if you haven't came to that place where you've asked Christ to come into your life, you've asked God to forgive you of your sins, there's only two places. There's heaven, where there's no more tears, there's no more sorrow, and there's no more pain. And the Bible speaks about eternity and hell, and eternity's forever. It's like falling into a lake of fire. That's how serious it is. And if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Saviour, Jim would love to talk to you, I would love to talk to you. Because today you can come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And as I say that as we finish, that's why it's important as Christians. Sometimes I think Christians don't believe in hell. It's important as Christians that we live for Christ. It's important as Christians that we live for the glory of God. Because we're here for such a time as this. God has got you here. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. And this is your time, and this is my time, to live for the glory of God if we're a child of God. And we need to be sharing the good news of the gospel that Jesus saves. We need to be involved in gossiping the gospel, involved in sharing the good word. There's somebody who works in a Christian shop, Christian bookshop, and the bad news came back. When they'd worked in it for 15 years, they says, I've never spoken to anyone about the gospel in 15 years. Now they should hang their head in shame. And if we're here and we're a Christian, our aim and our goal should be to share the best message in the world. God came into the world to save sinners, and hallelujah, you can know your sins forgiven and peace with God. And that's why it's important that we live the way that we want to live before God. As it come up in the verse here, there was a verse that come up here, and it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I shall forgive their sins and heal their land. We need our land healed, and it begins with you. You need to believe that. It begins with you. It begins with me living for the glory of God. And if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Saviour, come and taste and see that the Lord is good, and know that your sins are forgiven and you've got peace with God. Rather than singing our closing hymn, if you don't mind, remember, just come and have just a wee time of stillness. We pray that the Lord would speak into your hearts. Let's just come and pray in our own hearts, and then I'll close our time in prayer, and then we'll go next door and have a cup of tea and jazz, and the pianist, the guitarist, will just play some music. If you're here this morning and you know in your heart that there's areas where you need to confess and get right with God, don't let the devil rob you of God's blessing. If you're here and you know in your life there's things that is blocking blessing in your life, don't let the devil kid you on that everything is okay. Let's come and be honest, as we sang it earlier on, search me, O God. And that's a healthy place to be, to ask God to search our hearts. But Father, as we come before you in the name of Jesus, we pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you'd have spoken into our lives. That Father, we thank you that you want the best for each one of us. We thank you that the will of God is good, perfect and pleasing. And we ask through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would help each one of us to leave this morning with a fresh hunger and a fresh thirst and a fresh desire to live for your glory. We look round about us and we see people lost and dying and heading to a lost eternity. We ask in Jesus' name, burden our hearts, break our hearts for the lost, that we will want to start sharing the good news with people. And Lord, we do pray, if there be anyone amongst us who is not a Christian yet, we pray in Jesus' name that even today they'll come and they'll surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've warned us about eternity. We thank you that you've told us about heaven. We thank you that you've warned us about hell. And we pray, Lord God, to listen to what you say and not what the world says. We ask you to keep your hand upon each one of us. May we continue to know your blessing, your power, your peace upon our lives. And we pray you be with us as we go and share fellowship around a cup of tea. In Jesus' name, amen.